Well, we do want the Lord's presence manifesting, don't we? Here or there or wherever we are. I reminded the story of the little 5-year-old. He got up one Sunday morning and his throat was sore. He loved Sunday school, but he couldn't go because he had a sore throat. Had to stay home. And it was Palm Sunday. And his brothers and sisters came home and they had these palm branches. And they came in the house to celebrate. And he said, "What are those?" They said, "These are palm branches." Well, what are those for? Well, you wave them at... We used them at church and we learned you wave them when Jesus comes by. So we've got them today. And he says, "Doggone it, only Sunday I miss and Jesus comes by." Yeah. We kind of know what that means, right? I mean, we know he never leaves us nor forsake us. But don't you love it when he, quote, comes by? The Bible says when that woman touched the hem of his garment, he felt virtue go out of him. Guess where it went? It went into her. Oh, for those moments when the divine touches the human and things are ordered rightly in the life of that person. We want that to happen in each of our lives and hearts and our families. And but this morning, I'm dropping by to remind you about the other sheep. The other sheep. Last week, we talked about moving with the cloud. So important. But today the Lord wants me to remind you about the other sheep. I'm taking that phrase out of John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, we find Jesus in a situation he found himself in often. There's religious leaders. They're pummeling him with questions. He's teaching and he draws upon the metaphor of a shepherd watching over his sheep. And he says, "I'm the good shepherd and I lead sheep out to good pasture." And he teaches on that a few moments, and it says at the end that they didn't understand what he meant. And so he changes it, and he says, "Well, I'm the door of the sheep pen, and no one goes in and out except by me. If someone else tries to go in any other way, they're a thief, and the thief just comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and more abundantly." So he's teaching along these lines, and then it says that someone said, "Well, he's mad. He's got a demon." Someone else says, "I don't think he's got a demon. I've never seen someone with a demon open the eyes of the blind." And Jesus continued his teaching about, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." And the whole chapter is just awesome. But in verse 16, I want to drop back to verse 16. That's where the message for us is this morning. Listen to it. In the middle of that teaching, Jesus says this in verse 16, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold." Notice that. "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Really a powerful statement. He's talking to religious leaders in a Jewish context. Their life of relating to God was through the revelation God gave Moses, through the Torah, the law, and through the prophets, through the ages. They lived by that. They abided by that. The Old Testament sacrificial system, the priesthood, and so forth. And now Jesus is telling them, "I have other sheep." He's really talking about the Gentiles. That there were other people that he said, "I must bring them in." That was always God's plan. God had that in mind when he told Abraham, "Through you, through your seed, the whole world's going to be blessed. Not just the Jewish people. I have a heart for Israel. You need to have a heart for Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem." So important on God's timepiece and God's calendar. And Paul says there's coming a time when all Israel shall be saved. That's another message for another time. But here, he's looking at people basically that are saying, "He's got a demon. I don't believe him. He's mad. He's a lunatic." And he's basically saying, "I'm the good shepherd. I'm the way in." And later they say, "Well, if you're the Messiah, just tell us plainly." He says, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they testify to who I am. yet you don't believe. Their unbelief kept them from getting in. And Jesus is telling them, not only do I want all of you in, but there's other sheep. You see, sometimes we can develop a mentality that we're kind of standing, that we don't necessarily like, that God might let people in that we wouldn't let in. I've heard Billy Graham say years ago, we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised by the people that are there that we thought wouldn't be there. And the people that aren't there that we thought would be there. I think there's some of that we find here. Other sheep I must bring into the fold. So I want to ask you this morning personally, if I could, eye to eye, heart to heart, up and down the rows, each and every one of you, does your heart burn? Is your heart moved for the other sheep that are not in the fold? Who did Jesus die for? For everyone. We have to have a heart for the other sheep. And He said, my sheep hear my voice. And He says that to people who are hearing His voice and not doing anything. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. The other sheep. We're going to be in a new building, in a sense, a sheep shed. But really, what makes it important is the people within it having a heart for our shepherd, the Lord Jesus, and His sheep and the other sheep. Now, here, reference to the Gentiles. And we know the early church, that was a big struggle for them. More about that in a moment. But there's three statements that I want to make out of this verse 16 this morning as our final message here at this location. Statement number one. We have standing orders from headquarters. We, the church. We, this congregation. We have a set of standing orders from headquarters. You know what standing orders means? It means that they are permanently, they put in place. They have not been canceled. They have not been revoked. They have not been changed. It's like these are orders that have been made and they stand. And until we get something different from headquarters, they stay in place, they stand in place. What are our standing orders? Right before Jesus ascended, He said, Matthew 28:18-20, all authority has been given me in heaven and earth, now I want you, my disciples, go into all the world, the nations, and preach the gospel to every person. Disciple them, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to teach them to do the same things I taught you to do. The commandments I gave you, you give them. In other words, pass it on. Whatever He taught the 12 to do, and taught the 70 to do, and then the 120 who met at Pentecost, whatever they were doing, Jesus said, pass it on, and pass it on until the end of the age. You bring in what Luke says in Acts 1. He also said, and I'm going to empower you with the Holy Spirit. And you're going to be my witness right where you are right now. You're going to branch out into Judea, out of Jerusalem into Judea. Then we're going to hit Samaria, and ultimately you're going to go to the uttermost parts of the world. For us, because that's a standing order and it's still in place, we have access to that same Holy Spirit that empowers us. We start here in Florence, Lauderdale County, Northwest Alabama, state of Alabama, United States, and into the nations. We have standing orders to do this. Well, I think we should just focus on, right here and who we are. We really need it. Listen, what if every congregation did that? Think of the nations that would remain in darkness. Those are standing orders. They have not been revoked. They have not been canceled. Now, some theologians have come along in nice three-piece suits and have tried to revise those, but they stand just the same. Mark even said this. Well, let's bring in what Mark said around the Great Commission. He said, these signs are going to follow you as you go out to the nations. And in my name, you'll cast out demons. In my name, you're going to speak in new tongues. In my name, if you drink any poisonous thing or take up a serpent, you'll not be harmed. Remember, that's in under the standing orders of going forth. There's examples in Scripture of this, of how God honored that. And he said, and as you go forth preaching, I will confirm this gospel that you're sharing. I'll confirm it with signs following. So anyone that says there's no more signs and no more wonders and no more miracles have revoked orders that have been standing since prior to the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that could be quite serious. Are you hearing me? We have standing orders. So we've got to have the other sheep in mind in everything we do. And if you read the little book I put together for us during this season for transition, we want people to encounter God's presence. We want them to be equipped by God's Word. We want them to experience God's power, be empowered by His Spirit. We want them to connect with other believers and be mobilized around God's plans and purposes and deployed hither and yon to the nations. That's what we're called to do. And everything else that we do needs to find a resting place in that. That needs to be in our crosshairs at all times. Why? Standing orders. Standing orders from headquarters. When's the last time you shared Jesus with another sheep? In other words, a pre-converted sheep. Someone that didn't know Jesus. Recently, I was sitting in an automobile over at the new building with one of the subcontractors, trying to build a relationship across these months, and finally had the opportunity just to talk to him about Jesus, basically sharing how Jesus changed my heart, how I used to work. I know what it's like working construction, and then how God saved me, and kind of what my heartbeat is now, and bring it home to him and ask him, you know, do you have a relationship? And my heart was heavy for this man. I really like him and developed some relationship with him, but good guy. I think I could call him anytime. He'd do anything good to help me. But he's hurt, wounded, and just wasn't ready to take a step. It breaks your heart when you realize what someone saying no to, or is the one someone saying no to. But we want to see people coming in. 600 apartments across the street from us. How many other sheep are over there? I remember back in the days when I was doing industrial construction, and I was working with a man. He was about twice my age. I was about 25. He was around 50. And he didn't show up for work one day. And then he showed up the next day. The third day, I started out, well, where's Sam? What's going on? Oh, you didn't hear? He's in the hospital. And he's saved in pretty bad shape. And when they shared that with me inside, now I know it's Holy Spirit. It's like, oh, I got to go with it. I got to go talk to him about Jesus. So I thought, when I get off work today, I'm going by the Decatur General Hospital, and I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to witness him. So 3:30, got my lunch box, went to the truck, got in the truck, and I got to thinking, you know, I'm hot, I'm sweaty. I didn't bring an extra shirt to change into. I'll get my stuff ready, and then tomorrow after work, I'll go by and I'll visit with him. You know, I'd just be better if I did that. That was my excuse. I come back to work the next day. You hear about Sam? What? He died last night. When I heard that, something went through me. I thought of that passage in Ezekiel about his blood to be required at your hands. And I just felt, oh, I miss God. Now, I pray the Lord found somebody more obedient than me that went and talked to Sam. I pray he came to know Jesus because having spent a good bit of time with him, I was pretty sure he didn't know him. One more time, I wanted to talk to him about Jesus, and I missed it. I missed him. Our hearts need to burn for those that don't know Jesus. We're responsible. We're understanding orders to reach them. And we don't want to get in the way like these religious leaders. Jesus said, he told them one time, he said, you'll make someone twofold more the child of hell than yourself. You're standing and you're blocking the way, the door of the kingdom. We don't want to be that. I remember I was building a house for a guy one time, adding on to his house, and I tried to witness to him, but anyway, I had to travel with him to the building supply one day, about 20 minutes in the truck. I thought, I got him. Got him cornered now. So I started sharing with him. I started sharing the gospel. And he stopped me about halfway through. He said, I like you. I really do. I really don't want to hear it. He said, and I'll tell you why. He said, I have been beaten out of more money by pastors and deacons than anyone else out there. So I really don't want to hear what you have to say. Now, I tried to volley back and say, well, you're still going to have to stand before God yourself, as they will, but you're going to have to stand before Him. And then I thought I'd get clever, and I said, you know, anything that's between you and God must be closer to God than you are. Now I look back on it and I thought, I shouldn't have said that. Because somewhere in there I went from wanting to see him saved to trying to win an argument. And I lost what was really important. What was really important, not offending him, but was to try to share Christ's love with him and help him see the light instead of getting clever. Sometimes listening means more just waiting your turn to say something. We need to have a heart for the lost and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I've had continuous witness training. I've got the certificate. I've had evangelism explosion. I got the certificate. I got 24 weeks of master life I've been through. I've got the certificate. I've been through the series, Share Jesus Out. I got all that. I think it's wonderful. I think it's very, very helpful. But let me tell you this, on top of all that, we have to learn to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us so that we'll say what needs to be said in the right way at the right time, and we'll see Him move and work. Because we can run ahead. People have been praying. The Lord's been setting things up. And if we're not careful, we'll pull an Eddie and go clever and mess it up and just be another reason to keep someone from getting saved. We need to have a heart that truly has compassion for lost people. Second statement I want to make out of verse 16 is this. I want you to know that we have an adjustment coming up this weekend. Not right now, this weekend, but this coming weekend. We've got an adjustment coming. In this passage, Jesus, talking to these religious leaders, says, there's other sheep not of this fold I must bring in. When you walk through the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, you have all the Jewish people from all these nations. Acts chapter 10, God does something. He speaks to Peter. He sends an angel to the household of Cornelius and uses Peter to open the door. Remember he told Peter, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom? So he put those keys in Peter's hand, and he opened the door to the Gentiles, fulfilling a prophetic word in Scripture. And Cornelius got saved in his household. The Holy Spirit fell on him, and they all spoke in tongues. Boom! Confirmed powerfully by God. They weren't ready here in John 10. But that began to unfold in the book of Acts. Then when you get to chapter 11 of Acts, Peter goes back and he stretches the guys back in Jerusalem by testifying what God had done. He had opened the door to the Gentiles. And they concluded that he had done that. But then later in Acts 13 in Antioch, they lay hands on two Jewish guys by the name of Paul and Barnabas. They send them out to the Gentiles. And what you know, like microwave popping popcorn, Gentiles started getting saved left and right in all these pagan cities. They hadn't grown up with temple worship. They didn't know the Old Testament law. They hadn't been circumcised. They couldn't check the boxes. Well, that shouldn't be a problem because they'd already decided God had opened the door. But see, their decision, the door's still swinging a little bit. They meet back in Acts chapter 15, and it says, it wasn't a small dispute they were having, and it was around this. Well, yes, God's opened the doors to Gentiles, but they still got to keep the law, and they still got to be circumcised. In other words, they got to be like us if they're going to get in. That's the same problem the folks had in John 10. Jesus wanting to let people in that we wouldn't let in. So they have a dispute. Then Peter stands up and reminds them of what he had shared previously. Concluding, Peter said, we Jews are saved like they, the Gentiles. Now, I preached this about a year ago, but I'm telling you, this is one of the most powerful scriptures when you think about it, because here's Peter, who the keys of the kingdom were given to him to open up the door to the Gentiles, and he says, here's the end of it. We, Jewish people, are saved the same as they are. He didn't say, the Gentiles, now, they're saved like we are. He said it, we are saved like they by the grace of God. That is so pivotal. It was a season of adjustment. And then, you see a little early church government here. You have the apostles and the elders that are gathered together. And after these apostles had spoken, James, the ruling elder in the city, the half-brother of Jesus, he stands up and he makes kind of a ruling. They've all agreed on this, but he's the spokesman, concluded, you know, they said, we're going to ask this of the Gentiles. And he has three or four things. Just stay away from this because it will cause you more problems than you can fix. It has nothing to do with whether you're saved or not. All of that just to say the early church had to adjust to things. They kind of had to be led by the Holy Spirit forward as these challenges came up. Now, what we're facing this coming weekend is a good thing, and it's not comparable, you know, fully to that, obviously, but in it's a lesson for us that there is adjustments that have to be made. And most of us don't like change. It's easier just to go with familiar. Requires less of us. We get in a groove, but that groove can become a rut, you know? So God will just shake us up a little bit. It's just an adjustment. In the book of Ephesians, he talks about fivefold ministry and how God will katarisma, snap us into place so that everything fits so you'll get a full supply from other people. So we got to have that kind of attitude moving forward. What can I give? How can I help? I'm willing to adjust. I'll be flexible. Here I am, Lord, use me. Not, well, what about me? Or I don't like this, or I don't like... No, we're there to serve. The path to greatness is through servanthood. And the truth of the matter is, all of us, I'm talking about from the lead pastor all the way down, every now and then we need to clean a toilet. We need to mop a floor. We all need to smell like sheep. Listen to what I'm saying. And that's part of the adjustment because we are living in a time in our culture where there is an overabundance of entitlement thinking. And I'm fearful of the way that children are beginning to be raised. Like, see this thing spinning? It's not the world, it's you. The world's revolving around you. Jesus, the greatest man that ever lived, he went to his knees, robed himself like a household servant, and washed filth and dirt out from between the toes of his own disciples. Humility is a gateway of power. So let's have hearts to serve. Now, over there working, I'll tell you, I'm seeing people walk by. That's all I'll say, but it's obvious some of them don't believe as we believe. They're of a different religious. You know what I do every time I see them walking? I pray they'll come to know Jesus. Lord, how can we love on them? Because the love of God is the key of liberation in the human heart. So, we got an adjustment coming. Smile real big. Say, we love our pastor. Yeah. Okay. Last thing. We have a faithful shepherd to lead us. And in no stretch of the imagination am I talking about myself right now, which would violate statement number two. I'm talking about Jesus. Because at the end of this verse 16, he said, and there will be one flock and one pastor or one shepherd. I say pastor because episcopamine, to oversee, shepherd, pastor. I'm a pastor in the sense I'm an under-pastor. A shepherd in the sense I'm an under-shepherd. I'm under the great shepherd. Just like you as a son and daughter of God, you are an under-regent of God representing Him in the world. In the body of Christ, I'm an under-shepherd under His shepherding in this congregation. Now, there's one flock and one shepherd. And Jesus said, I have sheep that's not of this fold. But I must bring them in. God's heart is for us all to be in unity. Now, you know, ultimately, globally, there's a sense in which that's already true. The same Spirit dwells in us. And our spirits bear with one another. But functionally, it's a mess. We have groups hating other groups. We're not. You think we all agree on everything in this room? I don't even always agree with my own self. I change my mind. Like, you know, I just said that. I don't think I believe that. One flock, one shepherd, and His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He is the head of the church, which means He is the head of this church. He is the great shepherd. There is one flock. We're all knit together. And if we're going to emerge into an apostolic center of training, then these things we're talking about today will help pave the way. Have a heart for the lost. To let God change us where we need to be changed. And to let the shepherd lead us. Simple. Meat and potatoes. ABCs. Basics. We're not diving in a deep pun this morning. But it's transformative. A faithful shepherd who will lead us. The last time Brother Charles Caron was here, I accidentally bumped into him. He was ministering through here, and I was looking around. I walked in, and when I touched him, the power of God hit me. And let me say this in a very dignified way. I hit the floor flopping like a fish right there. Just unexpectedly. It was Jesus moving through him. While I was here in the floor, I was allowed to see somewhere else. It's like I saw over this city, I saw this huge white cross. When I say huge, I'm talking like hundreds of feet big, tall, wide, huge. It was just towering over this entire city and region. Then in the four corners, like there were portals that had a vortex in the middle of them, like this. You could see it, like if you were looking down into a hurricane or into a tornado. It was, you see these big swirling areas over that way, and then in that corner, and then of this vision. And coming out of those funnels, those vortexes, were angels just streaming into this region. I was undone for a while, but for several days, when I tried to talk about it or if I talked about it, I couldn't help but crying. It was such a powerful thing. I knew in part then and now that part of that was, you keep the cross in the center of everything you do, son. You make the cross big in the ministry I've given you here in this region. If we leave the cross out, there's a man of God that answers. There's a supernatural realm alive and well all around us. And if we will be faithful, we'll follow that cross over there this weekend. And if we'll just be faithful, again, to lift up the gospel, lift up Christ through the message of the gospel, He will draw people to Himself. There will be attending power. Now, two things, and I'm done. The worship team's coming. In John 10, we started. We went to the book of Acts. And what you see happening is the church, as she moves, always consults the Scriptures. In Acts 15, they reach back to a passage and they shared it. James basically said, we know from the prophecy that the tabernacle of David will be restored and the Gentiles will come in. It was a reference to a 40-year period in David's life when the tent of meeting brought in and there was no curtain and people could just worship right in God's presence without anything in between. In John 10, you religious leaders, you're just getting in the way. You're trying to, you know, I'm the door. Come on in. In Acts 15, we're concluding now God's opened the door for other sheep, the Gentiles. Tabernacle, unfettered worship, unhindered, nothing between worship. As it were, face-to-face type of worship, intimate worship. That's part of who we are. Lifting up Jesus, worship Him, uninhibited worship, unapologetic teaching based on truth, but all of it done in the power of God's love, hopefully always. May it always be true. May we always be that people. May we grow to be that people more and more and more. The Word, and then the power, the manifested power of God. When Peter shared his testimony, it was the breakout of the Holy Spirit and them speaking in tongues just like they did on the day of Pentecost. God's proven this is Him. Just like these guys in John 10, well, I don't believe He's a demon. He opened the eyes of the blind. God's power demonstrated to them it was real. Acts 15, when Barnabas and Saul shared about the signs, wonders, and miracles they had been seeing. Boom. God's power. May we be a people where God's love and God's power melt together in an explosion of glory that results in transformation in this city and region and state. It's so that everybody's headed to the cross from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. May it be so as we stand. May it be so. May it be so in Jesus' name. Our altar workers are coming now at this time. They are here. If you are here and you've never trusted Christ to save you from your sins, let me tell you something. He will save you. Call on His name today and you'll be saved. If you know, well, I'm a believer, let's get rid of any mentality that's wrong. Only difference between you as a believer, you're on your way to heaven, but the only difference between you and the most lost of lost people, there's only one thing that makes a difference, and it's Jesus Christ. If they got Jesus, they're as saved as you are. And if you don't have Jesus, you're as lost as they are. It's about Jesus. Jesus. So if you don't know Him today, I encourage you to step out from where you are. There are people here who will pray with you. And you can call on the name of the Lord. And you can know your sins have been forgiven. If you have not followed Him into the baptismal waters to be baptized, to manifest His death, burial, and resurrection through an act of obedience and faith, then you need to do that because you are commanded to do it. It is a standing order over your spiritual life that is not will not bring the fulfilled blessing until you say, yes, sir, and be baptized. So whatever your need is, maybe you need a healing in your body, a breakthrough for a burden, I encourage you just to step out. We're going to begin to sing right now as we begin. You just come. Step out from where you are. And someone here will pray with you, believe with you.
I've heard a thousand stories of what.
Now's the time, right now. Come.
Think your life, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. You're a good, you are. That's who you are.
You got.
I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Are there others? Come. Come. Come to Jesus. God for something real big this morning before we go. I saw these two ladies come up. I know they're both battling cancer right now, so I asked their permission to do this. I remember our first night of healing we had here, and we had people who had cancer and were healed. I remember one girl that had a cheerleading accident. It damaged her neck. She could not look down or up or left or right. For 7 years, she came up in a moment. God completely restored all her movement and removed the pain. There was a young man that had a knee surgery, was having trouble walking. He stepped out to come forward for prayer. On the way down, God just touched him. Never had to receive prayer. He was healed. We had a guy with a frozen shoulder that was unloosed. And I'm just believing there's another wave of the miraculous that's about to burst forth. But they're believing for a miracle break. Janet, come right here, Janet. And come on over, Donna. We decree and declare, and I want people to join around them right now. This is something we're going to do in our last service here at this church. But let's believe God for a breakthrough of miracle working power that melts tumors that are cancerous, that removes death sentences from people's lives. I just encourage you to stretch your hand. Those of you that may be watching this online as well, we believe that with God all things are possible. Father God, just begin to pray in the Spirit now across this room. Just begin to pray in the Spirit. Father God, we know that with you all things are possible. We just come together as the body of Christ right now. We take authority over cancer. We command it to go in the name of Jesus. We curse it up at the roots. We pray it be plucked up. We pray it be removed. We command you, cancer, in the name of Jesus. You foul spirit of infirmity, be gone. Be loose from it in Jesus' name. May you be healed. Be healed. Donna, be healed. Janet, be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. May the virtue of the resurrected Christ pierce you through and through with a healing anointing. Through and through with a healing anointing. Be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, we say no to the natural report hanging over these women's lives. And we say yes to the report of the Lord. You bore our sins in your own body on the tree. And by your stripes, we are healed. These women are healed. We declare your word in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hola, Sakia. Stretch your hand and say, in Jesus' name, be healed. We are believing and standing with you. Jesus is Lord. Confirm your word, O Lord. Confirm your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Father, we would ask that our city would become known as a cancer-free zone. Oh God, for a glory outbreak that disease cannot thrive within, you are able. And we are standing and believing that. And Lord, we thank you. We are just believing these women are first fruits of a new wave of the miraculous. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I just want to say, God, you've been so very, very, very good to us. God, you're so instruments now. God. And across the room right now, receive your healing. The liver issue, be healed right now. Shooting pain through the liver, be healed right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you're so good. You're so good. Thank you, Lord, for all the memories. All the good things. You've been so good. That's fine. You popcorn praise, whatever you want to say. Just take your turn. Say it out loud. Step right into that by faith as a congregation. Agree with me. Lord, we just rebuke fear concerning what lies ahead. Because you are faithful, you are able, and you have not given us a spirit of fear. And so we embrace your love, your power, and your sound mind so that we'll walk in victory and we will not fear evil. We know your rod and your staff, they will comfort us because you are that faithful shepherd. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes. Let's say that together. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless our brothers and sisters at Redeemer Presbyterian Church. We bless Pastor Scott and Lisa and their leaders. Pour out your blessing on them. In Jesus' name.
Lord, we thank you for our pastor and shepherd.
Thank you, Brother Buddy.
Earlier I was thinking of Isaiah 6 and again during this time, and Isaiah, you know, encountered the Lord and saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filling the temple, and he was praising the Lord, and then he said, you know, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then the Lord sent an angel that flew to him with a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar, and he touched my mouth and with it said, behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And then I said, here am I. Send me. And I feel like it's the word of the Lord to many of you today. It's time to say, here am I. Send me. And the Lord will deal with whatever you need Him to touch in your life.
Pastor Dot, would you come as our granddaddy pastor? I want you to say the blessing. James, did you have anything you wanted to share before the blessing?
It's interesting. Isn't this a good word we heard this morning? I mean, you know, what can we say? Interesting, this morning I was, my devotion time, I was reading Psalm 48, and there's a phrase that I thought, when it came like fire in my heart, and I felt like it was for us this morning, when God said to Israel, walk about Zion and go tell what you see to the generation behind you. And I want to make a decree for all of us. We're going to leave this building and we're going to walk about Zion, because we're going to look for the good things that God's doing, because He is. And we're going to tell it to another generation. I'm going to be able to tell families and friends, you ought to have been there in the theater. God showed up there. He saved and healed and restored. Now we're in a new place, a new site.
We're going to walk around it.
We're going to walk around Zion. You know what I'm finding in that scripture? And June will tell you this. So many times when I go to Walmart, I used to be to many mean people. You know what? I've noticed, I tell her, I say, honey, I meet the nicest people at Walmart. I don't think they changed. I think I'm walking around Zion, watching God be Himself. Amen? So I'm just so glad for the days we've had here for Pastor and making their leadership. And my goodness, as we leave going to a wonderful place. And it's not about the place, it's about a people.
I don't know if Russell and Sandra are here. Dave and Vicki, would y'all just come up and join us? Be up here for this last. Or Russell and Sandra, they may be. Yep. I know they were here in the early service. They may be elsewhere in the building. But our elders have been awesome.
Amen.
Just incredible. We all get stretched before y'all get stretched. So I'm grateful the Lord surrounded me with stretchy people. They're willing to go with the Lord. And we and Russell and Sandra were here earlier, but just so grateful for the support and strength, wisdom that they provide for this house. We're all blessed.
You just lift your hand this way, everybody in the house. Why don't you receive what God said to the priest? Say this to Israel, He said. Say it to them. And when you say it, I'll do what you said. But we here at Grace House, as we walk out of this building, we actually live under a better covenant than Aaron had. And so when we say it now, we're standing on the other side of a cross and an empty tomb and an occupied throne. And we just simply say this. We pray the Lord Jesus bless you. He make His face to shine upon you. We pray that He be gracious to you. We pray that He lift up His countenance upon you. And you walk out of this building to a new site. That the blessings of Almighty God will follow you, that you too, and we all decree, we are going to begin to walk about Zion and see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Can you agree with that and say amen? Well, let's... Yeah. I think we ought to leave like one more thing. I think we ought to, on the count of three, and I think we ought to give the Lord the biggest shout we've ever given Him since we've been here. And when you can't shout anymore, you're dismissed. Is that all right, Pastor? All right, are you ready? I mean, you know, if you're beside somebody that's, don't shout, shout for them. Hallelujah. On the count of three, give the Lord a glory, glory shout. One, two, three.